America has another round because the young lions are coming. The word of the Lord for 2025 is that we as the body of Christ are to storm Babylon. It could be a sign and a wonder, or it could start to be the fulfillment of actual end time prophecy. The church is in danger of being defeated by victory. Church is the nuclear deterrent. I think we already would be in a nuclear war. I believe if we get to July before those things would really take full effect, I believe we're going to have the footing to go through the next part they throw at us.
Joseph Z, it's always a pleasure to have you here on Charisma. We're going to be talking about what God is saying for the year 2025, but we have the privilege of recording in the past what God was saying for 2024, what God was saying about this do-over year. There's a lot of things that God has spoken to you historically, even recently, that we want to kind of look back at that stuff first before we launch into what God is saying for 2025. So, Joseph, welcome back.
Oh, man, John, it's always such a privilege to be with you and the Charisma family. You guys are just amazing. I got a chance to see Chad earlier, too, and all you guys are just remarkable, and I'm just so grateful to you and Steve and everybody. So thanks for having me, brother. I look forward to getting into this with you.
Amen, amen. So let's talk about some of these previous words that you've had. I mean, 2024, we've touched base about this a few times, about it being a do-over year. Yeah. In some ways, we've seen the same baseball teams won the championship in 2020 and 2024.
The Chiefs, yeah.
the Chiefs, winning the Super Bowl, the Dodgers winning the World Series.
Wild.
There was a lot of things that were kind of this do-over thing. Let's talk about that just a little bit.
Well, you know, sometimes the natural things we see, they speak of the invisible. You know, this natural world is an extension of the spirit world. And so when you see things that are trying to manifest in the culture, manifest in society, good or bad, many times it's a representation of what's going on in the spirit realm. And so you see these things, and that really showed that God was speaking, and he'd been speaking to many prophets, speaking to us. And so the do-over word, I'm going to get a running start at this because—
yeah.
All the way back, John, in 2015, the Lord sent me to Trump Tower. I was in Trump Tower in Chicago. And as I was there, the Lord began to speak to me about what was coming for America, all that. And I said, Lord, is Trump going to win this election and all this? And the Lord really didn't give me the grace to know if he was going to win or not. But he told me, I've called you to pray for this man. I said, okay. And I said, well, what's going to happen to America? Is America going down? And the Lord answered me and said, no, America has another round because the young lions are coming. And then he actually showed me, watch Lance Wallnau and you'll know who's going to win. And I said, okay. So I watched Lance. He won. So shortly after that, then we see in 2016, the election, 2020 comes around. Spirit of the Lord says to me in 2019 through an angelic visitation, very clearly, the angel didn't appear to me, but I heard this voice roar in the room. And he said very clearly that the great God Jehovah does not need you as much now, but he needs you after the 2020 election. And then shortly on the heels of that, I woke up two different times into a vision where I saw Trump not win in the public eye. I saw him not win. And the Lord said it was through a technology. That's the voice I heard. He will lose by a technology. I said, okay. So when I prophesied that, John, I got to tell you, many people left, you know, they didn't want to be around our ministry. It was not, you know, an encouraging word for people. Then you fast forward up to this time. And then the Lord showed me that this coming year, this 24, would be a do-over year of 2020. Like you mentioned, so many things that you're talking about. And then I began to get words such as there's going to be a shot heard around the world. I released that word in June. Then the morning that Trump got shot in the ear, 8 hours beforehand, live on my broadcast, I said, I hear the words, a shot is going to be heard around the world. And it's going to be like a Paul Revere anointing for people to bring the word of God forward and start ministering and going out. And there's going to be truth revealed. And it's going to be this thing. And the Lord kept speaking to me about, I'm going to do a thing in your day that you wouldn't believe if it was told to you, meaning with the election and where we were going in the fall time. And I kept asking him, is Trump going to win? Is Trump going to win? And like, we don't try to make everything all about Trump, but I got to tell you, he was a key figure for this time. And I kept asking the Lord, Lord, what are you showing me? And he said, as I showed you in 2020 that he would lose by a technology, he will win based on if the church shows up. I have placed this in the hands of the church. So that's one of the things I began to see. Now, here we are in this cycle where we're going forward, this do-over word. He faced off against a woman, just like he did in 2016. You see all these things happening. This do-over narrative just keeps happening. And now I believe he's going to finish what he started. He's got unfinished business with Israel. He's got unfinished business with fixing and right-sizing this nation. And I believe he is the catalyst to bring forth this word I have about the young lions coming, and there would be one more round coming for the nation. And so there's so much with this. But when 2020 broke out during the pandemic and all that, John, the Lord spoke to me about the lion, the bear, and we would face Goliath. I believe with this victory we've seen in November, I believe that is like a stone has just hit Goliath's head. But the issue is now we have to go and finish the job. We must go and take the sword and remove the head off the giant, because we need to go forward into the future head first. Amen. We got to get ahead in life, right? And so anyway, that being said, I see all these things that are taking place. And the Lord is speaking to me very clearly about what is to come. And I sense because of this do-over, because of the way the Lord has done things, there is unfinished business that needs to take place. And I got to tell you, I believe we're going into a time of generational quaking and generational building. And so just recently, you know, this new Superman trailer comes out, right? And I got a lot of things I can share about that I'm looking at and I'm praying through. But this new Superman trailer comes out, and Superman craters into the ground of the snow and ice in the beginning of this trailer. I'm watching this movie trailer, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to speak to me and said, pay attention to this. So I'm watching this movie trailer, John, and I start crying while I'm watching it because he craters in the ground. He's got blood coming out of his mouth. He's all beat up. He's wheezing. And suddenly he begins to whistle in this trailer. And then his dog Crypto comes to help him. This snow's flying, the dog's running, and he comes there and he says, home, take me home, rescue me, basically. Superman gets rescued. And the Lord spoke to me and said, that is America. That is the United States of America. That is the leadership of the church right now. That is many people that have been outcast, about to be turned into broadcast. They've been persecuted and things are taking place. And so when this took place in this trailer, I prophesied that just a few days back. 2 or 3 days later, James Gunn, the guy who made the movie, comes out and says, I don't know why I'm saying this, but he went on Fox News and said, I believe this trailer represents the United States of America. This is America, and it has to do with America being defeated under a time of difficulty, all beat up, but rescuing and help is coming. And the Lord had spoke this to me. Now, like I said, the natural sometimes speaks of the invisible. There are things trying to get spoken into the culture from the Spirit, and many times God will use popular culture. He'll use things to speak into the realm of the natural. And so I see this happening and I see these things unfolding, but the Lord showed me this. As soon as Trump won in November, the word of the Lord came to me and said, here is what we are in danger of right now. The church is in danger of being defeated by victory. They're in danger of being defeated by victory because although we've seen this good thing happen, we've seen light shine in darkness, and in my opinion, the good guys have won, the bottom line is suddenly there's a nefarious supernatural force that's been released into the nation. It's been released into the world. It's a form of witchcraft. It's a form of Jezebel. It's a form of deviant voices, prophetic deviant voices, and all these things that are coming forward are trying to manipulate what's happened. And here's why I think that is. And this is the prophetic thing I've been praying into, is number one, darkness did not believe, John, it did not believe it was going to lose. It believed Kamala was going to win. It believed it had a stranglehold on this nation and the nations and our future generations. When you got these wicked perverts like the WEF, the World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab, the Bond villain, who's like saying, you will eat bugs and you will love it. You will do these things and you will do what I tell you to do. You got all this mess going on. You're going to own nothing and you will love it. That kind of stuff is the spirit that thought it was going to seize the day in November, and it did not. The light beat the darkness. It put darkness on its heels to such a level that I don't believe, John, darkness knew what to do. It was so taken back, it didn't even know how to respond, and there was a strange lull in the spirit for a couple weeks. There was like a lull. It was almost as if time or something in the spirit just got quiet. It was just still for a moment, and then suddenly it started to tick up again, and suddenly you see drones everywhere. Suddenly you see the threat of nuclear war. Suddenly you see all this chaos happening all over, and the reason this is happening is because darkness got put on its heels, and it doesn't know what to do. It has no idea what to do. So now it's acting out in desperation and lashing out. So that's what I saw. But here's the danger for the church. We've seen victory. Now the supernatural forces are being released. And what we've got to do is rise up in prayer and do what the ecclesia does best, push back the gates of hell. We need to push back the gates of hell and not shrink back and go, praise God, we've had a victory. Let's just watch what happens next. No, we need to get very, very proactive. One of the things I've seen, John, in quarter one and quarter two is this ongoing threat of nuclear war or this ongoing threat of a nuclear blast. As I have talked with you about, I believe before, I saw a vision where I woke up in the middle of the night or late at night, and I suddenly saw this bus, and I was on this bus and I'm looking at it, and I saw a flash in the distance, but we were in a mountainous or foothill type region heading towards a city. And I'm looking at everybody, and it was as if everybody got under dread. They knew something was about to be released, and the air was strange, and it was a strange moment. And there was a flash, and then heat came, and I felt intense heat on my skin. That's the second time I've ever seen that. The first time was with Hawaii, and then those fires happened in Hawaii. But I still believe there's a nuclear threat for Hawaii one day, and I believe I saw a nuke. Okay. The Lord spoke to me as soon as I woke up from that and said, the church is the nuclear deterrent. The body of Christ is the nuclear deterrent. And I got a witness in my spirit that said, if we can go through quarter one and quarter two of this coming year without a nuclear incident, or even if there is a small nuclear incident, we can still have the grace of God get us over that. And then we would go to July. And if we get to July without a nuclear incident, without some of these things taking the nation down, I believe we're going to begin to see the turn of the tide completely, where we will see another run for our generation, our children's children, should the Lord tarry and not return. I believe that we will see a long generational run here. I believe we're up to 16 years of redemptive instability, where we'll see a turnaround and victory come. I believe we can see 20 years of life that begins to build and rebuild to the year 2040. I believe God has a marker on that year. Now, Jesus could return right now. We could see many things begin to happen right now where the Lord would say, my goodness, the trumpet's blasting, he's coming back. He could do that right now. But the sense I have in the spirit is if the church keeps rising and we keep pushing back these nefarious powers and we keep allowing the gospel of Jesus Christ to go around the world and we keep preaching the good news and we keep preaching the word of God all over the world, what's going to happen is I believe we will stay off some of this nefarious stuff for another cycle. Now, it could change. We could see it come our way if the church shrinks back. We know Matthew 16 says, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, the ecclesia. And as long as we're standing, we can push this stuff back. So I saw a number of things, John, that I believe is very important. And I can go into them if you'd like. I can go down the road. Please. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I saw is this. First of all, in 2020, in March of 2020, right before the pandemic happened, I heard these words. I stood up on a platform and prophesied that what I see coming is the lion, the bear, and Goliath is coming. I believe the lion and the bear have come in the form of intimidation, economic crisis, all this stuff. There's more economic crisis to come, but Goliath is coming. And I believe with November, what happened? I believe we struck him in the head. As I just said, we have to remove his head and finish the job. I believe Goliath is at the 1 yard line. He's standing at the door and we have to finish the job now. Now, seeing that, I believe the church is in danger of being defeated by victory. But then the Lord spoke to me about this word that I heard in my spirit called the arrows of warning. Pay attention to the arrows of warning. I said, okay, what's this about, Lord? And this word came to me out of 2 Kings chapter 13. It's the narrative where Elisha is on his deathbed. He's 90-something years old, according to many commentators. Elisha's there. He's on his deathbed. And then King Joash comes and wants to meet with the prophet because he's having issues. He's trying to get victory over his enemies. He comes and meets with Elisha, the prophet. And during that time, as he walks in, John, the first thing King Joash says is, my father, and the horsemen thereof. He quotes back to Elisha, which was the protege of Elijah, quotes back to him what he said when he saw his father, his mentor, taken up into heaven. One of the things that Elisha was experiencing is a king that was coming to him with nostalgia. He's saying, I know this happened in your lifetime. I love the story. And is this going to happen now? There was a nostalgic moment, but he was coming for help. And then Elisha said, okay, here's what you're going to do. Take your bow, point it out the eastern window, string it back, pull it back, and release an arrow out the east window. Elisha, when he saw him do this, put his hands on the king's hands and did a prophetic act. They did this, but then a peculiar thing happened right on the heels of this, John. Elisha says to King Joash, take a handful of arrows, go down and strike the ground. And he didn't tell Joash how many times he should do this. He didn't tell Joash, you should do it X amount of times. He did not give him a paint-by-numbers prophecy explaining exactly what he should do. Instead, Joash said, okay, I'm going to do it. He took the arrows, gets down, strikes the ground three times, and stands back up. Elisha looks at him, became very angry, and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times, and then you would have completely annihilated your enemies. Now you will only defeat them three times. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, much like Joash, the church is stuck in nostalgia, saying, my father, and the horsemen thereof. I want to have revival. I want to have memories of the former days with you, prophetic voice of God, or just the Lord. I want to have experiences that I once had that you had, and I want to live in nostalgia, and then please help me with this thing I got going on. And the church is saying, let's have victory. They fire the arrow out the eastern window. And then the prophet says to them, or to Joash, you strike the ground. He didn't tell him how many times. He simply told him, you do this. And it must have been lackadaisical. It must have not have been in the faith required to meet the enemy. It was not something that impressed the prophet because he basically did the minimum amount required. In other words, he was phoning it in. There was not faith. There was not aggression. There was not, let's do this. Let's finish the job. And because of it, the prophet rebuked him and said, you'll have victory, but it'll be minimal. I believe the word to the church right now is keep striking with the arrows. Keep striking. Keep pushing back the darkness. Continue striking until the enemies are vanquished. Because the word of the Lord for 2025 is that we as the body of Christ, the ecclesia, are to storm Babylon. I want everybody to hear this right now. If you're in the church, we are to storm Babylon. Well, what does that mean? It means we are to continue rising in prayer, pushing back this nefarious agenda of witchcraft, darkness, social evils, this woke ideology, this control over our economics, this wickedness that's happening with an invasion of our nation. All the things that are unfolding that have happened over the last 4+ years, we now need to drive it out. And we're going to see that we are storming Babylon when things like the Epstein list get released and revealed, when things like the Diddy list get released, and then many other things are advanced and released. We will know we are storming Babylon as a sign and wonder when suddenly we begin to see a forfeit against foreign adversaries buying up American soil. I believe we will see a sign happening when there's a form of eminent domain, John, that comes against these guys and says, no, get out. You're not allowed to be here. And they are thrown out by eminent domain, like Sarah Huckabee Sanders started to do. I believe we will see that. That will be a sign. I believe if we get through quarter one and quarter two without a nuclear incident and we get to July, I believe we're going to see the turn of the tide happening for what's taking place in this nation. Now, a number of things that I've experienced and seen with the storming of Babylon is this. We are now going to see warfare over gatekeeping platforms of media, gatekeeping platforms with legacy media. We're going to see warfare over gatekeeping platforms in the Christian media realms. And I got to tell you, it is absolute Jezebelian. It is absolutely a spirit of Antichrist. It is a spirit wanting to crush gates of influence to bring truth to the culture. And I'm telling you, a lot of the church is playing right into it, and it is horrible and evil. And what we need to do is keep rising up in faith, preaching the gospel, and letting the Lord deal with his people. He is head of the church. This is so important. One of the things I began to see, and I'm praying about this, is I saw two forms of deviant prophetic voices that are going to manifest more and more. Two deviants, two types. One, there's the John the Baptist type, which, you know, we both know that the John the Baptist type is great. We want John the Baptist to rise up. We want John the Baptist to stand up and offend the institutions and shake them to repentance. He's a deviant. It's what he does. He doesn't fit in well. He doesn't play well with others. But then there's a second type of deviant prophetic voice. Those that are prophesying out of their own soul, out of their own ideology, and out of their own worldview. And that is wrong. And when you begin to do that, you're doing a form of gainsaying. You're bringing out your own soulish prophetic words out of your own offenses or your own agenda. And here's what that causes. It causes wandering. It causes wandering. One is a deviant that's uncomfortable for the church and uncomfortable for the world. John the Baptist, he calls him out. He's a deviant. It's not necessarily evil to be a deviant. You're just not comfortable. You don't fit in. But the other kind of deviant will begin to prophesy from their own soul and try to push agendas, guising it as prophecy, and it'll cause wandering. People will buy in and they will wander, because that's one of the things false prophetic words do. They cause people to wander and they never hit their destination. They get caught up in some kind of sensationalism or ideology. They go to war on the wrong mountain, and it causes them to expend all their energy on conspiracies, expend all their energy on running in circles and attacking the wrong thing, when they should be focused on the gospel and they should be hearing the pure word of the Lord. And this is a time for people to discern. So I see that as a thing that'll come if the church doesn't stand up and do what they're supposed to do. But again, over this warfare of gatekeeping platforms, this involves legacy TV, legacy media. It involves all these things. And you're going to see the change of hands happen over and over again, I believe, going into this year on different platforms. One of the things the Lord showed me about 2.5 years ago is that Elon Musk would buy Twitter. I wrote it on the whiteboard. I saw this becoming a form of freedom tech. And when freedom tech happened, it was going to create pressure on many other platforms, and they would have to fall in line with it. And you're seeing that on social media. Now it's starting to trickle into the mainstream media and trickle into the legacy media spaces. So I believe that's going to happen, but there's spiritual warfare that the church needs to be attuned to and praying over to stop any form of wrong warfare taking down the wrong kind of leadership. And the Spirit of God is saying, this is not His will. We need to stand up and we need to pray and we need to intercede. And many people, not being apprised to real circumstances, need to close their mouth and let the Spirit of the Lord do what He does best, be head of His church and run the whole show that way. So that's one thing I see also. Then I see the area of Israel and America. Back in 2020, I had a vision about the angel of red, white, and blue standing on America. And the angel of red, white, and blue was standing there, and it was alone. But then I saw the angel of white and blue standing, and the Lord spoke to me about America and Israel. And how America treats Israel going into this next season will determine the longevity of this nation. And I believe with Trump going back in, we are going to see a good relationship between America and Israel again. Now listen, whatever Israel's politics are, whatever their moral compass is in their nation, with all the liberal ideology and wokeism and all the stuff that we don't appreciate as believers, really has nothing to do with the covenant God made with the land. And this is the part that's hard for people, is the bottom line is, although every individual is responsible to Jesus Christ as their Savior, whether they're Jew, Gentile, whatever, you need to know Jesus and you need to repent and come to Jesus. But Israel as a nation has a covenant with God, and the land has a covenant with God. And when you begin to violate that covenant, it's not about how good the people are being in the land. It's about the covenant God made with the land. And there's a big difference here. You got to recognize that. So this is where nations get in trouble. They're like, well, we're going to go against Israel. I'm telling you, you don't want to do that. And America, as it stands with Israel and with Jerusalem, there's going to be a prophetic blessing on this nation that the Lord showed me would be very, very powerful. And so, John, I see a number of things happening by way of miracle in the economy. I see oil miracles. I see a number of things God wants to do this coming year. And there's more I could go into, but that's some of the snapshot of what I'm seeing for 2025 and beyond.
Yeah. So I remember in the past you've used your whiteboard and you've talked about this. You've drawn this line and it goes down 30, 60, 100. That's and there's right, this tornado thing there, but then there's a time of, I guess that's redemptive instability, and then it goes up 30, 60, and 100.
That's right.
Are you seeing that we're in that 30, 60, 100 going back up right now? Where do you see this playing out in relation to what God's saying about the future?
I see this at the bottom of the part where we go down from 30, 60 to 100 fold into the valley. I see us hitting the valley, the bedrock. I think the most fiery parts of what's going to come next have not happened yet. I think that we're going to see a great challenge, but from that great challenge will come victory. So the tornado and the storm and the difficulty, we're either entering it or we're in it. And I believe that July is going to be a major milestone for what's going to happen. So it is my sense that as we're at the beginning of the year and we come to July, if we don't see a nuclear event, if we don't see one that really impacts America. One of the big concerns I keep seeing is this solar flare narrative. I see this over and over again when I pray, and that they're going to use real solar flares as a false flag for them to do some nefarious things with our technology involving hacking, involving EMP activity, involving things where they could bring down whole networks or social media. And I believe if we get to July before those things would really take full effect, I believe we're going to have the footing to go through the next part they throw at us. And by they, I'm talking about those that don't want to be unseated over at the World Economic Forum, those that don't want to be unseated at the WHO, those that don't want to be unseated at the United Nations, and those that don't want to be unseated in the current Manchurian administration that we're talking about right now. So I believe that if we can just continue to drive forward with what God's called us to do, July will be a tent peg. It will be a turning point. It'll be a stalwart. It'll be something that we recognize we've come through a lot, and now we can begin to build forward. That's what I sense powerfully. That to me would be looking at the possibility of coming out or into that valley where we start seeing the 30 mark to go up again.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks for giving us an update on where we are on that timeline.
Well, John, 26. 26, yeah. I keep hearing this word. 26 is a year of pickup sticks. And if 26 is a year of pickup sticks, I believe if we do this right and the church continues to rise, it is contingent on what the church does. Mm-hmm. If we get to 26 and we're doing it, the church is showing up the way it showed up in November, then I believe 2026 will be Psalm 126. 2026 will be Psalm 126, that what we sowed in tears, we will reap in songs of joy. And just like Superman whistling in that video, because, you know, Superman in the 1940s, they gave him the subtitle or the three phrase name that went with him, or just identifier that says, for truth, justice, and the American way. Mm-hmm. Truth, justice, and the American way. And I believe that is what we're headed towards. And 26, I think, is really Psalm 126, if we can see it, where the righteous have cried, they've sown in tears, they'll reap with songs of joy, and we are going to literally be like those who dreamed and say, my goodness, could this really be? Could this be happening? And the Lord is saying, if you'll do this, if you'll line up with me, if you won't fall for this deviant stuff, but you continue to drive forward in a spirit of faith, we're going to have great days in front of us. I really believe that.
Yeah. That's you're not the first person I've heard about 26, the Psalm 126. There's something
awesome.
On that for sure.
That's awesome.
But you mentioned something about Israel earlier, and I just was reminded of something that happened in my life. I remember where I was. I forget the exact date. Whenever I heard that that there was some sort of a map that the Trump administration had made where there was some sort of a two-state solution. I was actually a television producer for a Christian network in Pittsburgh at the time. And I was in the green room when we had this, when we were talking about this. And I believe it was the guest that said, that something very interesting. He said, that is going to bring a curse upon the world.
Wow.
And it was that night, I believe, that I was tuning into the Epoch Times, and I was started hearing about these people in Wuhan falling over from this virus. And so
how about that?
It might have in actuality laid out a slightly different, but for me, everything correlated to that one day when the United States put its hand on the land of Israel. What is God saying about what is God saying to you about Israel a little bit deeper here? I feel like there's more.
Absolutely. I believe very strongly, John, that the Lord, you know, so you got this Damascus thing where they're falling, you know, Damascus fell, all that, Syria. Then you've got people reaching out to me even about the River Euphrates. And you see all these signs that are taking place. Now, one thing I want to say about Damascus and the River Euphrates is this. It could be that we're getting so close to the end, okay? And I believe this correlates with Israel. We're getting so close to the end. We see all these things happening. Or it's what the Latin word sensus plenior means. And this word in the Latin, it means a deeper, fuller meaning. In other words, sometimes the natural is crying out about things that are happening in the spirit even before it's truly prophetic time. So I was over in Turkey standing at the River Euphrates. I was looking at it, and this was just about 6 months ago, 8 months ago. And I'm standing there looking at it, and I realized this is biblical. You know, it's draining, it's drying up, it's from some militarized action. A lot of things are happening with it. And I began to seek the face of the Lord over this. And the bottom line is, I think like every generation, if we do our part, it could be a sign and a wonder, or it could start to be the fulfillment of actual end time prophecy where we step into it. So I believe that is true of Israel also. How America treats Israel and what begins to happen there is very serious. Now, there's so many people, as we said earlier, that they're negative on Israel. They're like, well, you got to be spiritual Jews and you got to be this, you got to be that. It is so ridiculous to say those things. When you look at the promises God made with the actual territory, with the land in Scripture, and when you look at that, that is when you start to go, oh, wait a second. God's covenant with that nation is different than God's covenant with His church. It's different than God's covenant with America, for example. I believe George Washington held America up and said, I'm making a covenant with you, God, over this land. I think that's why we've had supernatural victory after victory when we should have never survived. But Israel's different. It's the apple of God's eye. He chose it. And that's the bottom line. So whether there's immorality running around in Israel, people are misbehaving, all that, God has a covenant with that land more than any other land in this world. And we've got to recognize that. And so how we treat that land, or if we decide, like you're saying, to split it up or do what we're going to do and just go in through geopolitical ideology, we are going to find either judgment or blessing based on that. So my sense about Israel with the United States, with Trump going in, is I believe he's going to get an opportunity, a do-over to finish what he started with righteousness. And I'm telling you, I think we're going to see a good thing happen. Now, if it doesn't, praise God, Jesus is coming soon, and we're going to begin to be out of here sooner than we think, and stuff's coming. But I have a sense that it's an opportunity to do the right thing. You know, there's a whole interesting narrative. I don't know if people know this, but several years were put into the reconstructing of an exact replica of the Ark of the Covenant. And when these people reconstructed it with every detail, and they took years, made of gold, made of all the substances that the Ark of the Covenant was made from, they began to get it ready to go to Israel. But during the time of construction and its finishing, they had to have a holding place for it for a very long period of time. And here's the craziest part, John, you probably know this, but the Ark of the Covenant that they reconstructed was kept at Mar-a-Lago. Yeah. They kept it at Mar-a-Lago until they brought it over there. Now, without going into this, I know some other narratives about the Ark of the Covenant and some things that I've heard rumblings about and prophetic things I've been reached out to because I've seen things about it. And I got to tell you, I believe that there's a prophetic significance about this. And the fact that it was there and it's going over there, I believe the Lord is doing something magnificent that I think is going to blow everyone away. And I like to say this because everybody has their idea. It's kind of like, opinions are a lot like noses. You know, everybody has one, but it might have a couple holes in it, you know? And so the bottom line is like over with Israel, when you're seeing the events that are unfolding, I always go back to the first time Jesus came. The first time Jesus came, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the experts of the law, they all missed it. And they knew the word of God. They knew the prophecies. They knew what was supposed to happen with Jesus coming or the Messiah. They thought he was going to go take over Rome and do all these things. And they weren't incorrect. They were just incomplete. They were correct. They just weren't complete. Mm-hmm. They didn't see the whole picture. And so I believe if it happened the first time that way, now granted, we have the Holy Spirit, we have discernment on these things different. We have the completed canon. But the bottom line is they saw it one way, and the early people back then in the time Jesus showed up, they didn't call it appropriately. Even the people Jesus called to himself, they could barely figure it out until the Holy Spirit came. Okay, even Peter finally said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "That's it, Peter, that's it. Now you know the truth, but man didn't reveal this to you. My Father revealed it to you through revelation. And upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it," in Mark 16. But what I'm saying is that is the same thing that's happening right now. If it happened that way, that people didn't fully understand the first coming of Jesus or interpret everything perfectly, we see today everybody's either pre, mid, post, whatever. They're all over the place with it. They're pan theology, whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. They're not interpreting things the right way. So when I look at Israel, I look at where we are on the scope of biblical events in the end times. Yes, there are things being fulfilled, but we also have to take a very big grain of salt and be humble, because we need to realize some of the experts of the law didn't get it right the first time. And we're here on the last of the last days. But I believe Census Plenier says we could have a deeper, fuller meaning. We could be seeing prophetic events manifesting that will continue to manifest, and they'll kind of be like they repeat themselves over and over again until the Lord actually returns. So John, it could be that although we're at the last of the last days and Jesus could return right now while we're on this broadcast, he could. We could also be seeing a very long season of time in front of us. So we need to build like it. We need to work like it. We need to honor the Lord Jesus in this time that we're living in. That's what I believe.
That's something we always need to do, is honor the Lord Jesus in the time that we are living. And we can't just look to the past to see what people have done and live on their foundation. We can't just look into the future and say it's going to all be good. We are the people that God has called for us to live today, yes, that need to act and occupy until he comes.
So
and
good.
That's, I think that's one of the things that you were mentioning earlier, is that, you know, if the church does what we are called to do, we will see these things happen. It's an if-then statement. And it goes back to the 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their, or they turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land.
So good.
We have an opportunity to do what God has called us to do. And today is the day of that opportunity.
Yep. And we better stand with Israel. You know, when you're talking about Israel, I'll tell you one thing we need to know. You can watch prophetic events by watching Israel. But, you know, no man knows the day or time or the hour or any of that stuff. We know only the Father in heaven knows when the end is actually coming or when Jesus is coming back or all of it. But what we got to do is we do got to keep watching. We got to keep discerning. We got to keep recognizing Jesus is coming soon. But that soon has been 2,000 years in the making. He said, I'm coming soon. I come quickly. And that's 2,000 years ago. And every generation believes they're there. But Israel really is the barometer. It's the compass. Mm-hmm. It's the marker that we got to watch these things by.
Absolutely. You know, Joseph, as I was just wondering, is there anything else that you feel that you're at liberty to share about 2025?
Okay, I'll share the things I have been released to share, because there are things I pray about, you know, that we know that we just got to obey the Lord with. But I'll tell you, one of the things I saw is this. I saw an economic miracle after a downturn, and I've been seeing this for some time. The only crypto the Lord has ever showed me was XRP, and that could go up, it could crash, it could come back, but I've seen that over and over again. And let me just say to everybody, when you hear prophetic things about stuff, and people said, didn't you know that Kim Clement prophesied about that too? I didn't know that till recently, but about 3 years ago, I was writing on the board and I said, of all the cryptos, I've only seen XRP. And then I tell people, don't go investing in this unless the Holy Ghost tells you to do it, because, you know, I'm not a financial expert here, but I'm just simply saying what I've seen. That could mean it crashes and comes back, but I've seen that. There's something involving XRP that I think will have longevity to it. That's all I know. I'm going to say this also. The economic miracle is going to be based on oil. This is something I've seen for a few years now. Oil. It's going to be based on new inventions. It's going to be based on witty ideas that begin to happen. And I believe the Lord's going to do something magnificent. We're going to see some downturning. We're going to see some shaking in the housing market. We're going to see all that. And we're going to see a correction come for sure. But in that, I think it's going to be either a difficult landing or a devastating landing. I think it's going to be a little difficult for a season, but then I think a revival's coming economically. And that's something that's coming. The statement about foreign land, you know, how China's buying up land and they're buying up and making police stations all across the nation in different cities. I believe that is going to be ejected. I have a sense that if we continue to pray, one of the things I see is a forfeit of that, or a form of eminent domain on a governmental federal level where they say, sorry, you go against the principles of our land. We cannot tolerate this. And I see a form of eminent domain where they send them away, send them packing from the ground they are trying to possess. I see the deportation narrative. I see a number of things with property and land for people where they lost it being reversed and coming back to them. There's a miracle for land with people in 25, but 26. I see that. Another thing, and I'll just say this very quickly, is I see a water crisis trying to rise, and I see the Lord giving wisdom to people, and I prayed into this. I see the Lord giving wisdom to those in power to begin to avert that or correct it, but there's a water crisis coming. In addition to this, cyber warfare.
Pop in here a second. Just because you talked about this water thing last year.
Yeah.
And I find it very interesting that what we're starting to see with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., RFK Jr., coming out against fluoride being in the water. I think this is part of that fulfillment. I mean, as I've seen, there's an area here in Florida that they say we are no longer going to have fluoride in the water. And other areas that are starting to do this as well. And so keep the water free. It might not just be the cost. It might be keep the water free of these other contaminants or these other chemicals.
Oh, that's powerful. I'm happy to hear that about Florida too, because that's, you know, that kind of stuff is truly evil to poison people that way. And so that's good news, John. I did not know that. Thank you for sharing that. I also see this thing about cyber warfare, mm-hmm. and they're going to start to find correction. You know, the big watchword for this coming year is going to be Willow, this Google, quantum computing chip and their abilities with it. There's so much more to this that I feel like is going to get unveiled just shown to the public, or pieces are going to come out that they'll say, I didn't know this. Wow, my goodness, I didn't know about this. It's been in my spirit so strong about Willow that they're going to be able to, as they're saying, contact other dimensions, communicate with them, and do all this stuff. But that goes in line with this word I've had for months now about the tear in the fabric of reality. We're going to see more and more of that. AI is going to get so powerful through Willow and things like it that we won't be able to determine what is real and fake when they present it through this type of tech. And that's just over the next few months even. And then finally, I'll just share this. I believe we're going to see extreme weather, record-breaking extreme weather on a variety of fronts. If it has the label weather on it, it's going to be extreme in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And then a big thing I keep hearing is this solar flare narrative. Every time I pray and I look into the future, solar flares keeps coming to me. And I believe solar flares is going to be used as a false flag where it may be a real solar incident, but they're going to use it for their purposes. And again, we've identified who they is. But the bottom line is solar flares, I believe they could do all kinds of nefarious activity with it, such as destroying cell communication, grids, power, all of it. There's a lot of things that will shake. And then the day will come when the satellites are in the news, satellites, and it'll be involved with hacking. And I believe that they're going to find answers for all this, though. This would have been detrimental. I think we already would be in a nuclear war had Kamala won. But the fact that she didn't, I believe we're averting, we're diverting, we're going around this. And the church is the nuclear deterrent. The church is the deterrent of all these antichrist plagues that want to break loose on a variety of fronts. I think the UFO narrative is going to get more and more extreme until finally they have ultimate disclosure where we see one, it speaks, something happens, meaning an entity. And the bottom line is all of it is evil, nefarious, it's deception, it's demonic, it comes from another realm, or it's just technology that is very extreme, or a mix of all of it. And then, of course, that gets us into the Project Bluebeam and all that stuff.
That's another conversation we can talk about for an hour or so easily.
It is, brother. Yeah, but that's what I sense.
Yeah. Wow. Joseph, would you just pray for the people that have been watching this?
Yes, sir. You know, one of the things I want to say to this awesome audience, yours and Charisma and you, John, and everybody, is that you don't have to be afraid of this stuff. You don't have to fear anything. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is greater than he that's in the world. And even on a bad day, you're anointed to be the best there is. And God has called you. He has marked your life with his glory. So the darkness is the thing that should be shaking, not you. You're the ecclesia, and the gates of hell doesn't stand a chance against you. So I bless you. I speak the peace that passes all understanding over your life. In Jesus' name, even on that bad day, you have a revelation And a man and woman of the revelation from God Almighty is not at the mercy of a culture going mad. God has called you. Your future is bright. Your children are going to be okay. God is with you. And Jesus loves you more than he can even tell you. I got to tell you, Jesus loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. So you might as well get in cooperation with him. God's not mad at you. He wants a bright future for you. Cooperate with him. Get into prayer. Get to know him. Run to him, not from him, and darkness won't stand a chance. Jesus is Lord. He's with you. Amen.
Amen and amen. Joseph Z, thank you so much for taking the time to share what God has said, how we've seen it fulfilled, and what God is saying for the year 2025. Thank you, brother.
Amen, brother. It's a privilege to be with you every time, John. Thank you, sir.